have gotten a note or a notebook, they're available over there. You can pick them up. If you haven't, go get them right now. The notes are in the process of being redone by Andy Hines, and right now we're caught up. So it may not always be that way, depending on how I am able to reformat the notes and add things that I want to our notebook to have you have the best possible notes there are out there, and the most up-to-date, by the way. Last time I thought this course was 4 years ago. So there's a lot that's happened in the world of cults in 4 years. So we'll help you to be able to have the most up-to-date, hopefully, that we can come up with. All right, so before we get started, let's pray. Anybody have a prayer request? Then we'll pray, and then we'll get started today. So anybody got a prayer request? Pray for my need. Okay. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity I have to be here tonight with this class. I appreciate them and appreciate their willingness to learn your word and to learn how to deal with other religions and other cults, Lord, that are out there today that are trying to subvert people's souls and send people to hell. I pray that you'll give us the best of the Holy Spirit to be able to remember the things that we're about to remember. Lord, I pray you give me wisdom and power as a teacher to be able to teach what you would have me to teach and not to teach the things you wouldn't want me to teach. And Father, we're thankful for what you're going to accomplish in this class. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you did not sign up for the class, I'm going to ask you to take one of these right now and fill it out for me so that I can have a record that you are here. Thank you, bro. Excuse me, I gotta take my drugs. You'll all be getting a glass by the end of the
night. Anybody short a notebook at all?
John?
A binder?
No, the teacher said that if you don't have enough to frame and spread around for everybody, don't bring anything else. I remember that.
You want some ice broker, I'll give you some. If you want an E8, let me know, I'll give you
that.
Anybody else need one of these to sign up? All right. If they haven't paid for a notebook yet, Bob, what do they need to do?
They'll just have to give it to you.
Okay.
That would be fine. If they didn't, if it's not registered on a form, they can just give it to me.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Does everybody have enough for the front? I'm out of the front covers and spines. Did anybody not get one for the notebook? Or we had just enough then? Okay, that's a blessing.
Let me go through the attendance list real quick, and then if I didn't call your name, you can raise your hand and I'll add you to my list, okay? Elizabeth Anna is here. Pat, Bobby, are you here? Okay. Pat? Names. Because we want to include some other major religions, so now we're calling it comparative religions, all right? But primarily, you'll hear me refer to this as cults, okay? And you'll see a lot on there, all right, as far as cults is concerned. Because primarily, what we're going to deal with is people who I classify as a cult. You'll hear in my definition that that will include a lot. So, but before I get into this tonight, I want to find out, why are you taking this course? What are some of the reasons why you want to study comparative religions? And if you have to take this as an elective, you know, because you want good, you know, to graduate, that's not a good reason. That's an important reason, but it's not a good reason, right? But tell me, why are you taking this class? What's your purpose or reason for taking it? Alicia?
I'm excited about this class because I think it is 10 times easier to witness to people when you already understand their religion, so then I can totally explain to them why their religion is wrong and explain the truth.
Great. Awesome. Elizabeth?
I had the same reason also. I like to be able to talk to my uncle about it because he has a very wide idea of religions. And for me to, like Alicia said, explain to him the truth and the truth will set him free, I need to know something of what he's talking to me about, because I can't go up to him and be like, well, you're wrong and I'm right and that's why, and he'll be like, well, why? And I'll be like, I don't know.
Yep, and you're
so, yep.
Okay. So what else? Why are you taking this class? What's the reason why you want to take this class? Yes?
I have to tutor students in world religions.
Ooh.
And so I would like to have the Christian perspective versus New York State textbook.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Mm. So what else? Yes, go ahead, John.
Some reason I attract them all. Every time I open my door,
you're repellent.
Rick can back me up, and they come back 3 or 4 times. So, and we get into some heavy conversations. So,
for
some reason why they keep coming to me, I don't know. But I want to be more educated to handle it in a quicker way.
Amen. Down the road from me, Matt Fingry lived, and his neighbor was a thing in the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I had worked with Matt and did some electrical work in his basement and stuff like that, and I worked with this guy. So I noticed that the Jehovah's Witnesses, when they went by, they would skim my house. No, they'd walk right by my driveway. It's like they go to everybody else's house, but they'd skim mine. So I went up to this guy, this man's neighbor, I said, you know, I'm really offended. I said, they're with me. If they really want a challenge, why don't you send them out there? You said, did you tell them not to come to my house? He goes, I did, because I figured you weren't very in the mood to be convinced. I said, no, you never know. Well, the next week, a car full of about 7 of them pull up in front of my driveway, down my front door. Oh. So I was there for about an hour with 7 of them. So it's like, and they were just pounding question after question at me, but praise the Lord, I was able to hold my own. So,
asking you, shall receive.
You gotta understand, I know all about you, I teach about you. So they haven't come back since, though.
So, they do mark your house down.
Yeah?
And mm-hmm. You watch, I was talking to them a couple times, and they write down who they're coming to, mm-hmm. who they're not, who they miss.
Yep. Who's interested
in
who's
in the chapel.
Yep. Someone else have a reason why they want to take this class? Yeah.
I want to take it just because you're teaching it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's looking for the
bad
one.
He's
in the bay.
Getting deep in here, saying you're watching. Praise the Lord. Well, if you haven't ever had me as a teacher, I'm a different kind of a teacher. I'm the kind of teacher that likes to teach by drawing things out of the students. Years ago, I used to lecture and bore people to death. Okay? And so now what I try to do is I try to mix my classes up and try to solicit things from the students themselves so they can, so I can hear your input. Because again, maybe there's some things I need to learn from you that I haven't learned before. So that's why I like to do it that way. You'll find a lot of my quizzes, you'll know exactly what's going to be on them. They'll pretty right up. If you are a credit student, I will keep track of your attendance and we'll keep track of your grades. If you are an audit student, only if you want me to keep track of your attendance and grades, because later you can convert it over to credit if you want to, just pay the money. So if at some time you want a degree later on and you're thinking about that, then let's do it, okay? And we'll go from there. I want to teach this class because I want you to be an informed consumer. I want you to know exactly some of the things that other churches and other religions will teach you that are perverted from the Word of God. By doing so, I'm going to set the Word of God as my authority. The Bible is my authority for everything I say, okay? And so I do not have opinions. I do not have conjectures. I do not have interpretations. I will use the Word of God. And that's why people are cults today, because they may use the Word of God, but they may interpret it as they want to, that it fits their religion or their cults, okay? I have been called a cultist before, being a Baptist.
Amen.
People have told me I'm a cultist. No, I'm a Bible believer. I believe that every Word of God is pure, that God had every word in this book in there for a reason, and if I don't understand it, that just doesn't mean that no one can understand it. You just need to dig more and find out. So I'm going to be teaching the truth of God's Word. In the meantime, though, I also will be looking at different religions or cults in teaching you some of the basic things that they believe and show you how to go against and refute them. By the way, they have books on how to refute Baptists, okay? How to refute born-again people, how to refute Bible believers. And so they're up on you as much as we will be up on them. Go ahead, Rich.
Can we get those?
Can you get those? I've got a couple of them. You ask the Jehovah's Witness for them. They'll give them to you. When they come to your door, you ask them for them. So I think you need a good couple books from you. Could you give me the ones about how to deal with a born-again Christian? And if not, go to the Kingdom Hall and ask for it. They have a Thursday night is what they need. Go up to the door and say, listen, I've been told that I could get one of the books on what a born-again Christian believes. Could you give me one of those? And for a price, they probably will give it to you, or a donation. Okay, they'll give it to you. So let me help you to understand that it's exhaustive to know every detail of every religion. You will have notes. This is one of three notebooks that I have, of all the material that I have. Okay? Your notebook is in the process of being redone, so you'll have primarily most of all that I have, only maybe it'll be a little bit more condensed for you. But you will have everything that is research and resource material that you can go to at any time. A lot of it you don't need to know to refute them, but you need to know some of the history of how these things came to place, because a lot of people in the cults have no idea where they came from, why they're here, what their religion used to teach and doesn't teach anymore, but it was founded on this, and it's still usually in their laws and their ordinances for their churches and what their beliefs are. So we'll do a lot of that and help you to understand what the beliefs are and then show you. The other thing I'm going to show you is I'm going to teach you some of the major doctrine that you need to know and be really aware of in order to take on any cult. If you have these major doctrines down, you can take on any cult and any person who is of a false religion. Because, again, you have the truth of God's Word. Like, for instance, we'll be learning about the deity of Christ. Almost every major cult does not believe that Jesus and God are one and the same. So by the time you're done, I have a 5-page paper on the deity of Christ. You will have every bit of material from God's Word on the deity of Christ, so you can go toe-to-toe for hours with them about the deity of Christ. The Trinity. They don't believe the Trinity, most of them. Okay? They don't believe in the authority of the Bible. And on and on. So you'll learn some major doctrines. Because does anybody work in, I know Lexi is a band teller. How do you tell if something's a counterfeit or not, Lexi?
It just doesn't look right. I mean, you're around the real stuff so much that, you know, the fake just doesn't look right. So
you're around the real stuff long enough that you don't know what the fake stuff, you know what the fake stuff looks like. That's why I want you grounded in God's Word. I want you to know what the Bible says, so when someone goes and says something to you and teach you something, all of a sudden it doesn't sound right. It doesn't go according to the authority of the Scriptures. And so then you'll know those major doctrines of what you need to do to try to refute them or help them understand they're wrong. It's very rare that you can take one of these cultists out of their group. Okay? So don't get discouraged if you can't convert them. Alright? They're very highly indoctrinated. Okay? And some of them have been in there for years and go back generations. But at least you give them the truth. They are responsible for the truth. That's all you're obligated to do. What they do with that, they will answer to God for that at the Great White Throne Judgment. Your job and my job is to give them what the truth is. If they poo-poo that and say forget it, then that's, their blood is off of our hands, so to speak. Okay? So again, don't think that taking this class you're going to become so knowledgeable that you're going out to the local Kingdom Hall and take them all on, you know, sitting, not looking at it. I have a friend of mine that's a carpenter, and he went out to Idaho to be a pastor of a church out there. And he part-time pastors and part-time Finnish carpenter. The Mormons hire him because of his work. He is a very fine Finnish carpenter, cabinetry and everything. He witnessed to Mormons every day. Every single day he's witnessing to 10 to 12 Mormons every day. In his church he has 35 people. They don't break too well from the Mormon church or the Mormon family, quote unquote. So again, he's been doing this now for over 20 years. So again, it's very tough, very hard. He loves it. It's like saying stick him to a dog. This is my friend. I got some different things we're going to do. I'll show you some videos of some wild things that you never thought or ever heard of was happening within some of the cults, especially the Mormon church, okay? There's a lot of things that go on that the average people have no idea, even including a lot of the Mormons have no idea. So again, there's going to be a wide variety of discussion and things in here, and I'm looking forward to it. All right? You'll see the requirements on your first page of your notes, okay? Your class requirements. I'll pick up one of those and then open the things. Appreciate it. And the grading system, the homework you're required to complete any assignments within 1 week of the thing that's given, that'll be 20% of your grade. There won't be a lot of homework, so don't panic. Okay? Every class you attend, you'll receive 1 point. Total number of points will be 15. It'll count 15% of your grade. So every time you show up, it counts for you because you're learning. And so I believe if you're here, you're learning, and so you're gaining knowledge, so I'll give you credit for that. From quizzes, we'll have some quizzes from time to time. I'll let you know. I have another sheet that tells them the next page. We'll get into that. Your midterm will be held on March 23rd. I haven't decided what to do with the midterm yet. So that may change. I may end up giving final exams on each individual cult. I haven't decided what to do yet, depending on the information. Your final exam will be due on May 4th, and I'll tell you what that is. And you have 1 week after that to turn that in. That'll be 25% of your grade. Next page, assignments. Yes. Yes. They will be recorded. They will be on the website of the church at pbc.info. You'll go under discipleship, then go under NSBI, and then the comparative religion, you just have to pick the week that you missed. If you missed a week, and you can listen and download. Don't spread that to so many people. I don't want you giving that to the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses. Go check out our website. I had some people, I had three elders from Seventh-day Adventist Church call me because someone gave out my notes on Seventh-day Adventist being a cult. And again, they're a religion. They're not really a cult, but it's... And so I went round and round because someone just randomly handed my notes to them. Don't do that. Okay? I'm not afraid to have that done, but people don't know what I am teaching or what the background is. Mm-hmm. They think I'm out to attack and destroy the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay, your quiz on the introduction to cults will be on the 16th of February. Again, I'll tell you exactly what's going to be on there so you'll be able to study. Your study for your final exam, Jehovah's Witnesses, we'll give you on March the 2nd. It may be a little bit too far out, but we'll see. It may move that up a little bit, but as we see how we progress. Your homework assignment that will be due April the 6th, you need to make up your own cult. Okay?
Amen.
You need to make up your own cult. Okay?
Is that biblical?
Yes, it is biblical. I had to do it for my cult class, so you're going to have to do it. Okay? Include some of the things that we'll contain in our introduction as we talk about it. Okay? I want biblical proof that your cult is real. Okay? And that it's necessary to follow to get eternal life or whatever you're trying to prove. Okay? I need you to make up a leader, their beliefs, scriptural proof, and I want it believable. Okay? I want it. I made up a cult that you worship trees. And there were different kind of trees that could get you to different levels of heaven. The Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon would be one of them. And I went through, and I went through. So you, to my dismay, when the Wizard of Oz was shown and the trees were talking, where'd they get my paper from? Your final exam will be due May 4th, and you'll have until May 8th to turn it in. And here's what your final exam will be. You need to write a 5 to 7 page paper on the top of Islam. The body of the paper is to be 5 to 7 pages, and the rest of the ingredients of a research paper included after that, including footnotes and sources. The paper should be double-spaced. The study could include history, leaders, beliefs, different sects, present-day trends, whatever you want to include, that's up to you. The reason why I'm giving this to you, and again, you can use any resource you want to, this could be its own course. Islam could be its own course.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much material, we do not have time to go through every detail of Islam. Okay? So giving you an assignment like this gives you to do a little background or present to you some of the ways where you know you can look for future references. Okay? You should get this on this as soon as possible, as you'll have other work to do in other courses. Write a brief rough outline that's due February 23rd, and I mean rough outline. I mean 5 points. Just give me the 5 main points of your outline. Okay? I'm not asking for, you know, what they call it, a rough draft. On approval, a more detailed revised outline is due as March 16th, which would be more like your rough draft, just to make sure you're working at it so it doesn't get done at the last minute. Okay? When your paper is due, you'll also include your detailed outlines with it. All right? Okay. Any questions about any of that? Again, some of you are in here and this may be some of these things I gave out is overwhelming. Just relax, okay? I'm not a staunch, you know, I have a teacher we call Sarge. And if Sarge, you didn't work on her work first of your homework assignments, you were a dead person, okay? I'm not that kind of teacher, so again, I can help you if you're time constraints or whatever. But we'll work together and see that you get to it. My object is that you learn. That's my object. Okay? All right, any questions about any of that stuff?
Yes. On the homework assignment, you make up your own cult, that couple pages, a page.
Does it? Yeah, just give me enough material that I know you worked on it and it makes sense. You're convincible. Okay? All right? Again, I don't like reading 25 pages of filler, okay, just to try to impress the teacher. I want it to be able to convince me, okay, if you can. All right, any other questions? Good questions. All right, let's get into this and find out what we're going to be dealing with and see how we can help you understand about cults. First of all, what is a cult? What is a cult? Tell me what you think a cult is. Before I get into the formal definition, what is it called?
Any religion other than mine.
Other than religion other than mine, which means you are a
cult. All
right. Someone, what is it called? What do you consider a cult? Don't look at your notes. By the way, most of your notes tonight, you can read later. You don't need to follow. We'll just cover the main highlights and we'll be adding some discussion. I don't like it when people have notes in their hands because they tend to read the notes rather than listen to the teacher. So you can read the notes, they'll always be there, but I want you to get the main things that we're talking about. Someone had a hand up over here. Bob?
Like man-made or man-activated or started?
Okay, a man-made religion or activated religion?
I had a professor in college who taught that a cult was any religion that took Jesus out of the position of God, like Jesus was not God or Lord and God or a God instead of God himself.
That's a good definition. Okay, that's a good definition. Yes.
If it's not taught in the Bible.
Good. If it doesn't have beliefs in the Bible or founded on the Word of God as its authority. And then some of them will use the Bible, but they'll pervert it, okay? So you have to be careful. But yes, definitely, that's the definition of the cult. Anyone else? Go ahead, Alex.
A group that requires membership in their group for salvation.
Okay, exclusivism. And you have to be in their group for salvation or to be a part of salvation. Yes?
This is like a religion that is for the benefit of the leadership.
Good. The religion is benefit for the for the leadership. Okay. That's a good thought. Never thought about that one before. It's good. Yeah.
One that had more than one final authority.
Okay. Good. Someone had a group that had more than one final authority. All right. Anyone else? All right, let's look and see if this will work for me. Okay, let's look and see and get in the introduction and find out some of the definitions that I've found over the years about a cult. Okay? And, you know, there's a lot of things that are out there as far as definitions and defining. And again, religion, we're talking about comparative religion, but again, what perverts a religion to where it becomes a cult? That's really what we're looking for. But religious perversion, where they take the beliefs of the Word of God and set them aside, and they pervert them and twist them to what they believe is the big one. Okay? Another thing would be organized heresy, where someone has thought this thing out and gotten a heresy that goes against God's Word specifically, and has orchestrated it and come up with a plan of being able to hoodwink people, so to speak, and grab them in. The next would be belief and practice which calls for devotion to a religious view or a leader. Okay? Almost every cult has one main leader that people follow, and he is the great guru that you bow down and you have to obey or you have to follow in his teachings. Okay? So if you were in the Metzger cult, you would follow King Guru Mike Metzger. Okay? All right? Then it distorts or warps. Well, this one is centered in false doctrine, okay? Where what you find is you take something really that's biblical doctrine, twist it to become man's doctrine, and then follow that and practice that doctrine, okay? Like, can anybody give me a false doctrine that they have heard that cults believe or that they follow, Pat?
Jesus Christ and Satan are brothers.
Okay, Jesus Christ and Satan are brothers. Okay? That they are spirit gods in heaven, and they were both brothers in heaven. And so the Mormons teach that. Okay? Go ahead.
But there's three different gods instead of just one God.
Okay, there's three different gods instead of just one God. Okay? There's a polytheistic mentality rather than a monotheistic. Someone else, what's another false doctrine?
Adam had two wives.
Adam had two wives, okay? But did he have a belly button? That's what I want to know. That's a good call for you guys. Adam's belly button called.
Okay.
Someone else. Yes.
Yes, you have to pray to somebody else to get to Jesus.
Again, they pervert the doctrine of the Bible into their own man-made doctrine is another major reason it's a cult. This one is a movement which distorts or warps the orthodox faith. What do we mean by orthodox faith? Go ahead, Pat.
Orthodoxy is more like a religious system, like the Russian Orthodox or the Greek Orthodox, or Catholics could be considered Orthodox. We're Orthodox Christians. We have a system that we follow. So the movement that distorts or warps orthodoxy would be anything that changes our view of what our system should be.
Okay. Okay. Someone else? Good explanation. So again, Orthodox faith, our faith rests in what, class? Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Okay, so we are orthodox in our belief, so to speak, because we believe the Bible is God's Word. So therefore, anything that goes away from that orthodoxy, okay, we're not considered, even though we're Baptists, we're not considered a quote-unquote religion. We're Bible believers, okay? And so therefore, because we're Bible believers and we believe the Word of God, that's our authority. My pastor is not my authority. Now, he's my authority as long as he follows
the Bible.
But if the Bible's right and pastor's wrong, then who's right? The Bible's right, okay? That's why it's First Bible Baptist Church. We don't follow a lot of the tenets of the Baptist orthodoxy, because they have gone away from the Bible, okay? So a departure or a movement which distorts or warps the orthodox faith in God's Word, that's considered a cult. Some of you are not aware of this, but let me help you with this. An anti-dispensational viewpoint of the Word of God, or interpretation of the Word of God. Now, who would like to tackle what dispensations are and what we mean by that? In a simple form, in a simple way. Go ahead, brother John.
As God changed his laws, so did his plan in dealing with men.
Okay.
And that's pretty much a dispensation.
Okay. Someone else? Go ahead, Dave.
Dispensation would be a time period.
Okay.
It can be broken down when you properly divide the Bible and look and categorize and have a better understanding of what's being taught during different dispensations.
Okay, good. Someone else? Go ahead, Dave.
In the Catholic religion, you get a dispensation for you can eat meat on Friday.
Right, so they give you this little out, so to speak, so you don't have to just suffer with fish all the time.
Right.
Okay. Right, okay. Okay, someone else? Go ahead.
The way that God dealt with man at various periods of time through history.
Good, Janine. Excellent. Good definition. The best way I can describe it to you in the most simplest form, and if you want to write this in your notes, you can. Okay? God has grace. What is grace, class?
Gift received at Christ's expense.
Gift received at Christ's expense or an unmerited favor from God. Okay? Now, the way we tap into it in different time periods throughout the history of God's Word is how God dispenses His grace to us in different time periods. Like, how did He dispense His grace for Adam and Eve?
Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Don't eat of the knowledge of the tree of evil. So they got God's grace by being obedient to His law and command. Okay? What happened?
They failed.
They failed. So now we have another dispensation that God deals with man a different way. And we have seven of those in God's Word. We are in the dispensation today of the church age. This is God's little time period. I am so thankful for this time period. Okay? That probably happened from the time that the Jews rejected Christ in Acts chapter 7 till today. Okay? Where we deal with going to heaven by just trusting Jesus Christ by faith only. And His shed blood, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and calling upon Him and asking to be our Lord and Savior. That did not happen in the Old Testament under the dispensation of the law. Okay? They had belief or faith, but they had to prove it with
works
or things they did. Did the works save them, class?
No.
The works did not save them. It proved that they had faith, though. Okay, so if you die keeping the law and following it, then you got a chance to go to paradise. If you die not keeping the law and not believing and not following the law and being obedient, and there were no works, then you died and went to hell. Okay? Not so today. All we have to do is call on Jesus Christ and ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, believing we're a sinner, believing we deserve punishment for our sin, which is hell. Christ died for us, was buried, and rose 3 days again. That if we'll trust only in Jesus, not anything else, just Jesus alone, be willing to turn from our sin, called repentance, and call upon Jesus Christ and ask Him to be our Savior, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So in this dispensation, that's how God has given it to us. If you mess the dispensations up and throw them into one big bowl, what's the problem?
The Bible contradicts itself.
Then the Bible contradicts itself. Do I have proof of that? Take the Bible. Matthew 24 in one hand, Romans 13 in the other hand. Matthew 24 in one hand, Romans 10, verse 13 in the other hand. Matthew 24:13. Who will read that for me? Matthew 24:13. Go ahead, Pat.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Okay, who will read Romans 10:13 for me? Who's got that one? Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
All right, what's the problem?
Okay.
What's the problem with these two verses?
Jesus said, if you endure to the end, you'll be saved.
End of what, Lex?
To the end of your life, apparently.
Okay. Anybody else have an end of what? The tribulation. Okay. So one says, if you endure to the end of the tribulation, you'll be saved. One says you have to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Which one's right?
Both.
Now you're thoroughly confused in my class. Let's take it apart and find the context. Go to Matthew 24 first. Okay? Verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. Who are his disciples? What nationality are they, class?
Jewish.
Jesus said unto them, see not ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the, number one, sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Two things. Underline those so you see them when you're reading. Okay? They're asking two questions, these disciples, these Jews. What's the sign of your coming, Lord? And what's the sign of the end of the world? Two different events. Which comes first, class? Second coming, and then?
End of the world.
End of the world. Second coming is during the?
Tribulation.
At the end of the tribulation, during the beginning of the
kingdom.
Millennium, the kingdom. Okay, and the end of the world is at the end of the millennial kingdom, after 1,000 years. Okay? And Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's why we're teaching cult class. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Who's the you? The Jews, the disciples. And shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he, Jews, that shall endure to the end, the same shall be. And this gospel of the, underline or circle that word, please. That's not your gospel. Yours is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? This is to the Jews. There is no church here. You won't find a Bible-believing church here. You won't find anything that deals with saved people here. They won't be talking about trusting Christ as your Savior or brethren or anything like that, because they're dealing with Jews. So this passage here has to do to those Jews. This is before Christ came to the Gentiles and preached the gospel to us. Okay? These Jews had to endure and believe all the way to the end of the tribulation in order to be saved by God and to have Him come as their Messiah. Period. So if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you will be like a Jehovah's Witnesses that comes to your door and reads this whole passage to you and tells you how to escape the coming of the wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, because they'll tell you you're in the midst of the tribulation right now. You're not. We haven't had the rapture of church yet. So there ain't no tribulation yet. So you see, if you mess this up and you don't understand where things are rightly divided, you will get sucked in, because they'll throw it all in one big bowl and mix it up. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Let's look at that. Let's back up and get a little context. Okay? Okay. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, again from the dead, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of
faith
which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be
saved.
For with the heart man believeth unto
righteousness,
with the mouth confession is made unto
salvation.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that what?
Call
upon him, for whosoever shall
call
upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not what?
Believe.
How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a
preacher?
And how shall they preach except they be sent? And on it goes, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, if you take and throw out dispensations, those little divisions of time, and run the whole Bible together, now you can pull verses out of anywhere and prove what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it has no context on who it's talking to, has no context on what it's talking about. It's a big, huge mishmash of everything rolled together into one, and anybody can come along and say, oh yeah, we have to worship trees in order to go to heaven. Because over here in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 7, it says, how shall the trees save us? So now we have to worship trees. See what I mean? So you'll find that all the cults or all the major religions that will mess the Bible up will throw any dispensational setting out and will then use the whole Bible to prove what they believe. Okay? And put you as an Old Testament Jew. That's what Roman Catholicism does. They take all the sacraments and all the sacrifices and all the vestments and they call them priests and they do all that. Why? They go back to the
Old Testament.
Hebrews tells me that there's been one sacrifice once for all. It was made by Jesus Christ. So again, if you don't rightly divide, then you're subject to falling prey to just following whatever some guy virtually pulls out of the Bible says you need to believe this. So it is so valuable and vital to know the divisions. We already know there's one major one. Which one? Old Testament, New Testament. So, you know, but again, it's more finite than that. There are seven of them. And if you're not aware of them, I believe that that classes will be coming up at our institute. If not, there's several different things of material that if you want to, see me and I'll recommend those things for you to read and you can go on from there. Okay, Rich?
You notice in the dispensations that require more works are those who also see Christ. The Adam and Eve saw Christ, the people in the Christ age saw Christ, and the people in the end time see Christ with their eyes,
right,
not with their ears. Faith comes by hearing. So when people tell you God changes not to the Bible, or God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so you can't have dispensations because it contradicts the Bible, God did not change. But the situation changed, where God does not hold a person who's looking at Christ to the same account, for he holds them to more accountability,
right,
to those who hear only.
Right.
So when you hear people say dispensations are not useful because God doesn't change, they don't realize what changed, because faith comes through hearing, and sight and faith are inversely proportional. The more sight you have, the less faith you possibly could have.
Right? That's good. Seeing is believing. That's why they're Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're from Missouri, too. The show me state. Okay. But again, Jews require a
sign.
They have to see something to believe it. You and I have never seen them, but you
believe.
Okay? And that's what's so cool about it. Good. Good explanation. Any other question about dispensations? That is a vital thing in understanding where you're at and why cults go astray. Okay, if you understand that, you'll tie any Mormon Jehovah's Witness down for a long time. One lady came to my door, she's a Jehovah's Witness, and I said to her, ma'am, why are you doing this? I'm trying to obtain, be one of the 144,000 that go to heaven? And I said, only 144,000 go to heaven? Yes. I said, interesting. I said, what's your last name? She said, I said, is that a Jewish last name? She said, no. I said, have you had a sex change operation? She looked at me really disgusted. What are you asking? So I took her to the book of Revelation and showed her that the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, that there were 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe, okay, and that there were male virgin Jews. Now see, if you don't understand that, then here are these people that are looking for a position. I got two ladies standing at my door. And so one lady was an apprentice, and I said, ma'am, as you can see already, I've tied her up very, by the word of God, and I said, you need to get out of this as fast as you can. Because again, they didn't have an answer. The lady's going, well, let's go, I can see we're not going to get any place. Yep, thank God. Because you have to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to know who's it talking to, when was it talking, what were they offering, what were they giving, were their works involved, etc., etc., and determine dispensations. Any other questions? Okay. A lot of Christians don't believe in dispensations, by the way, class. And they're messing the Word of God up and the teaching of God's Word a lot. Okay? Just so you're understanding. I'll give me a little clicker to work. Okay. Definition called continued. Why the remarkable resurgence of the cult? Okay? Again, there's a lot of interest in the cults today, especially Islam, right? And again, there's a number of reasons why that happens. The Bible says constant attacks will come. Somebody read Acts 20, verses 28 through 31. Would you get that for me and read that for me? And I want to show you some things about that. Who's got it? Well, go ahead, Jeremy.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Paul calls them grievous wolves. They're perverters that will come seemingly from the inside, but also there'll be external people, grievous wolves that will come in. And again, Paul's warning gives three defenses against those. Number one, your notes, this is reversed. You need to put this back underneath Acts 20:28. It's H, okay? But it really needs to be underneath letter 1 or number 1 under G, okay? He says, take heed. So you better pay attention. That's why it's important for us to take this class. Not only take heed, but he says, watch. What's that mean?
Watch for the coming of Christ.
Watch for the coming of Christ.
Watch for false prophets.
Be attentive, watching. When a person is put on watch in the Navy, anybody been in the Navy before?
Yep.
When you're on watch, what are you doing?
Standing guard.
Standing guard. Okay? You're watching for the enemy to come in so they don't come in and pervert people. I'm constantly on guard at this in our church. There are people who can take a little Bible study and just pervert it and take off, or not necessarily our own teachers, but there's people who have other friends who decide to get with people. We've had that happen over the years. My best friend is no longer serving God today because he got taken away by a perverter of the Word of God who took him aside and taught him false things about God's Word. They started their own little cult. They ended up having a meeting, inviting 33 people from the church over on a Sunday night. And out of those 33 people, they got about 5 more. One of those guys ended up committing suicide. Another guy went completely broke. He was a millionaire, went completely broke. And the other guy ended up in a psych ward. And my friend has never darkened the doors of a church since, a Bible-believing church since. One of the most faithful men in this church was a deacon. Okay? So again, it can happen. And you have to watch. Keep your ears to the ground. Watch what's being taught. Watch what doctrines are being taught. watch when people think that they have more authority than has given them, so to speak, and they pervert the scriptures. Remember, Paul says, what are you supposed to remember, verse 31? What's it say, Jeremy?
Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Remember what you've been taught. Remember the teaching of God's word so that you can rebuke these people. Okay? Next. The latter times. Why are these cults flourish? We're in the latter times. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Says what? Anybody have it? 1 Timothy 4, 1. Go ahead, Kevin.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Okay, in the latter times. Are we in the latter times class? Mm-hmm. We're in the latter times. Okay, and they'll do what, Kevin?
They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Okay, the seducing spirits, they're out there. Trying to grab new converts and people who are unaware and just, you know, today we're finding more and more Christianity and people aren't interested in doctrine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel good. They don't want to know the backings and the foundations of doctrines. They just want to go and have a good time of worship and feel good. There's nothing wrong with that. It has to be a balance. But everything you do and say has to be grounded with
doctrine
in the Scripture. Okay? And in the latter times, people get seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Okay? And it's going to happen. Remember, the cults need truth. Okay? About four-fifths of the truth that a cult teaches is believable. So four-fifths out of what they're teaching has a biblical basis. Okay? The other part is a lie. So they have to have an element of truth to suck these people in. And if they don't have an element of truth, they're not going to get it because they're going to be very glaring, okay? So four-fifths truth is needed to be deliverable. And again, remember, they're always questioning what God said. Genesis 3:1, in the garden, Satan's biggest M.O., get Eve to question what God said. I call it the Yea Hath God Said Society. Okay? Be careful of those people who are always questioning God. Well, I don't think God meant that. Did God really mean that? Did he say he said it? Yes, then he meant it. Okay, there's no... But those people who begin to question God and try to get behind what God was feeling, they subvert and have the questions. Did God really mean not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve? Because you know what? If you eat thereof, you're going to be like one of the gods. I don't really think he meant it like you think he meant it. And he twists the scripture. He made her twist it to the point where she talked about that I'm not supposed to touch it. He didn't say you're not supposed to touch it. He said you're not supposed to
eat it.
Okay? She could have touched it all day long. Probably was poison ivy. But the bottom line is, he questioned what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Bible really the Word of God? Is it the only Bible? Is it the only? Couldn't there be other things that God left us that we could believe in other than just the Bible? God's pretty bigoted about that, isn't he? See how they do it?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're off to the races questioning what God says. Okay? Or if it's truth to believe, Genesis 3:1, distort the truth. Now, definition of cult continues. They always reject absolute standards from God. Some will look up Deuteronomy 4:2, some will look up Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, and some will look up the book of Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Listen to what God says. God has absolute standards. I have an absolute Bible. Okay? It's King James Bible that I believe is the absolute Word of God today. Okay? I believe that it's without error, without mistakes, There's no changes. There's no additions, subtractions that God has given to me exactly as he wanted me to have it. Okay? I couldn't hold up a different Bible and tell you that. Okay? And yet, I may be a cult. Some people would say that. But I believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God as found in the King James Bible today. Okay? Now, look what it says in Deuteronomy 4, verse 30. God gives three warnings. Who's got that? Go ahead, brother. Lucas?
You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish up from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
Don't add or don't what? Don't subtract. Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. Go ahead, Soma.
Every word of God is pure, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou not to do his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou become a liar.
God said, don't what? Don't add. By the way, if every word of God is true, then every word is true. And if you leave out one, it's not true. Okay? And I love that verse. Every word of God is true, he. Why is it he?
It's Jesus Christ.
It's Jesus Christ and it's God. In the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was
God.
And the Word was
God.
That Bible is God. If he's not true, then I can't believe in him. And if he says every word is true, where are those words today? Some pastor would say, well, it's somewhere contained in my library on the wall here. Oh, it is, huh? I got one better. It's right here. Want a copy? Okay. All right. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. Go ahead. Kevin?
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
So three times God warns his class, once in the beginning, once in the middle, and once at the end. What was the warning?
Don't add or subtract.
Don't
add or subtract. Don't touch.
So does that mean your friend, if there's a salvation, if he went and joined a cult? And, you know.
No, because it doesn't say salvation. It doesn't say life. It says you lose your part. Okay? Which has to do probably with your rewards, not your salvation. Okay? Good question. Yeah. All right. How does a religion turn into a cult? Let's look quickly at the progression. First of all, you deal with men and you deal with witnessing and evangelizing. Okay? Then it turns into a movement where you teach the Word of God and help them to understand. That's where you need to what?
Stop.
Grounded in God's Word. Okay? However, they continue. Now it goes from a man into a machine, with the man at the head of the machine, and it turns into dealing with the culture, okay? And you begin to do things to reach people, and you teach things to get more people, etc., etc. And then last, you become a monument, okay? And everything revolves around you, and you have people worshiping you, and they're doing what you tell them to do. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. A lot of people have gone this way, gang. Bible believers have gone that way. Turned into control freaks. Turned into people that couldn't do anything without knowing them. Years ago, when I took over one of the classes here, I'll not name it, okay, just so you don't know, but I got into the class and found out that the teacher of the class was telling people that he had the answers for anything in life, and that before they made any decisions, they had to come to him. So when their kids wouldn't eat their broccoli, when I took over the class, I had 75 of these calls in 1 week, by the way. Okay? When a kid wouldn't eat the broccoli, you call the pastor, "Pastor, would you tell our kid to eat the broccoli?" Okay? And they would put the kid on the phone. And I said, "Put the mother back." You tell your kid to eat the broccoli or you're going to parallel to the bed without eating, whatever, but it doesn't have to come through the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was setting it up that everything had to come, every decision that had to be made, every little tidbit of what was being taught had to come from him, including and exclusively even over the pastor of the church. Yep. Power went to his head. And he became a control freak right under the nose of our church. Okay? It can happen. Because he wanted to be a monument. Put me up on the pedestal and bow down and worship me. Because I am the great guru. People ask me to come to their church to teach and preach. They ask me to send a picture and a bio. I say, no, thank you. Just put my name in it. In fact, don't even put my name. Just say, yes, speaker. I don't want to be anybody. I'm content to be what God called me to be, period. And I am not above anybody else. God has a chain of command and purpose. And the bottom line is, if you know your position, you know where you are, happy are you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Julie?
Is that why, when we talk about culture, missionaries have a tough time witnessing to people out of our country because of their culture? They're not so much of a cult, but it's their culture that they're having problems with.
In some ways, because they try to take the American culture and force it into the country. That's the way missions used to be done years ago. As a matter of fact, a lot of people still run it that way. My job as a missionary, if I'm a missionary, I'm to go in there and I'm to disciple those people and train them so that they can reach their culture. I'm not to Americanize them.
Mm-hmm.
That will pervert them. Okay? Out of their culture. Now they'll be standing out like a sore thumb, and their countrymen won't listen to them and won't listen to what they got to say. Because I had one guy that was a missionary. He went in among a bunch of grass huts. Okay? He built a compound with a four-story white house, probably about 15,000 square foot house. Four stories. Outside, and he had a walled-in compound. He's the missionary's people. Outside his house are grass huts. How many people do you think you're going to reach? He's all trying to get them to build new houses. Wrong. Again, that's culture. And sometimes they try to get them into false doctrine, which results in cults. Let's take a break and come back, and we'll name some cults. So take about a 5 or 10 minute break, and we'll see if we can name some of the cults that you'd like to study or think about what you know out there that's not teaching correctly from the Word of God. So who'd like to start? Straight in your mid, Doc.
Scientology.
Very big with Hollywood people today.
Yeah.
Okay? Very, the Hollywood stars are very well into that. Go ahead. Mennonites. Yep. Not necessarily called, but don't teach the right thing.
Seventh-day Adventist.
Seventh-day Adventist, okay? Which I hear they're changing, so we'll deal with that. We'll help with that. Okay? Go ahead, Rich.
We're willing to wait.
Who is that?
Reverend Weirwell is the
yes,
way.
Yes, the way. Okay, the
oh,
way.
Yeah,
yep, definitely. Okay, someone else. Another call. Of course, we all know Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. Okay? What other cults or false religions are out there that are teaching the Word of God properly?
Catholics.
Some ways Catholics aren't teaching the Word of God properly, right?
Muslim.
Islam. Yeah, good system.
Greek Orthodox. The Russian Orthodox. The witch.
Yeah, right. Wicca, big time. Wicca. We'll get into some of the occult, but we won't have time to go into a lot of that. But big today is Wicca. We'll be talking about that. Is not just white witchery like they say. It's not innocent and harmless. It's very big. Okay, John, did you have something you think of?
Freemasons.
Yes, the cult, big time, very big.
The Church of Satan. Church of Satan.
What?
Church of Satan.
Church of Satan.
Okay. I've
heard of Kabbalah.
Kabbalah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, Kabbalah. Someone else?
New Age or the Emerging Church?
New Age movement, yes. Okay. Eastern Hinduism.
Buddhism.
Taoism. The Moonies. Okay. Confucianism. Okay?
The gospel according to Oprah Winfrey.
The gospel according to Oprah Winfrey. Which is a call. Okay? You're right. Okay? Someone else? Akintar? Yes. Akintar is one. Yes. Okay. Baptist Briders? Yes. They are called. Yes. Hare Krishna? Yes. Don't see them a lot lately, but they've been called. In the 70s, they were in the airport. Some of you watched that movie Airplane, you saw them. Okay, Chad? Some of the Reformed churches, yes, definitely, and definitely the Buddhist are saying.
Wait, can you get into like the Buddhist or the Taoist?
Yeah, Jeremy said that.
Okay,
Hinduism is very big today, especially among Indian cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you don't know, you might be eating the cow that was your grandmother. You don't want to eat the cow.
Aryan Nation?
Aryan Nation is very big today, yes.
It's a
false religion because they take works and use works as part of their way to salvation. So yes, go ahead.
Church of Christ.
Church of Christ, yes, definitely. Okay, go ahead. What?
Animism.
Animism, okay, yes.
What about Universalist Community Churches?
Yes, Universalist Community Churches, yes.
Astral projectionist,
yes. Remember years ago, there were people who set themselves aside in a room to be, and they killed themselves, didn't they? To be astral projected out into... Jim Jones had a cult, remember that? Okay, some of you remember that?
Right.
Never drink Kool-Aid again. Okay. Diana? Voodoo, yes. Part of a satanistic, ritualistic thing. I have a list in here that if you want I can make a copy of and give it to you. But it floored me. I think it's in here. Let me look real quick. If not, it's in one of the other many notebooks that I have. Yes. Wiccans, yeah, definitely.
Who was the guy in Waco that did the...
Jim Jones.
Branch Davidian. I don't have it with me. It's in my notebook. I have a list of 5 pages long, listed forms, single spaced, 5 pages of all the major cults and religions in alphabetical order, 5 pages long.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Someone else? I'll bring it up. There's a ton out there. We haven't even touched the hem of the garment. But again, the bottom line is we'll be here all night. And we don't have time to deal with that. But Baha'i, Rosicrucian is one. Armstrongism. Many of you have not heard of that, okay? Which is they've changed the name now because the leader was under a man named Armstrong, Gardner Ted Armstrong. Anybody old enough to remember Gardner Ted Armstrong on the radio? Okay, yeah. I used to listen when I first got saved. Every night I'd come home on B-shift in Kodiak and listen to this guy thinking I was getting biblically fed until one day he said, anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord is a heretic. I listened to him for 6 months, thought he was the most biblical preacher around, and found out that I was following a cult. And Worldwide Church of God, it's called. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Is Velvet Elvis, you never heard of him? No, he's just a writer. I'm wondering what cult he was in.
There's a lot of people out there who represent a lot of cults, but they aren't telling you what the cult is, but they do represent some.
Freemasons,
we talked about that big time, very big. By the way, Freemasonry and Mormonism go hand in hand. They won't tell you that, but it's very close. Okay? A lot of the beliefs of Freemasonry are entwined in Mormonism. Especially some of the secret cult rituals that go on in the Mormon church in the temple that none of you have ever heard of or are aware of. It's very
National Treasure.
Yeah. Freemasons, right? Yep. Go ahead, Sam.
There's a guy called Arnold Murray. He's from Phoenix, Arizona. He's all over the DirecTV satellite network, Shepherd's Chapel. And he believes that Satan is the tree of knowledge, Jesus Christ is the tree of life, that the Christians are in the tribulation right now, that there is no rapture. He backs it up. He knows his Bible very, very well, and he stands in the King James Version, and he's just got a lot of facts that we believe here, but then he's got a lot of different man-made doctrines that come out of left field that really make you think. So I just heard of him like 2 months ago, and I've been listening to some of his CDs so that I can try to prove it wrong. He's got a lot of crazy stuff, and he backs it up with the Bible, and he knows the Bible.
Listen, remember, not everybody believes in King James is right on, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that YouTube one where the guy preaches on that text about he that pisses against the wall, and he preaches on that that you're not a man unless you stand up and go to the bathroom. And I was so embarrassed listening to this thing, man, because he claims to be a Bible-believing King James toning preacher. Like you're sicker than a dog if you have to preach a message like that to your congregation. So again, there's a lot of wackos out there, and again, the nuts aren't always in the trees. Remember that, okay? I mean, give me a break. Okay, why do they prosper? Well, there's several reasons why they prosper. They love darkness, spiritual immaturity. They prey on people who don't know their Bible. They pray on new converts. It seemed like when I was working at Kodak, every time I'd lead someone to Christ, a Jehovah's Witness was talking to him 2 days afterwards. Okay? It was like the weirdest thing in the world. Spiritual subversion. They want to subvert people's souls. They want to get them entrapped. Intellectual pride. They try to provide the answers that the people are looking for some of the most common things of life. So they want to try to go after those kind of people who are seeking some answers. Why did God take my loved one? Can you answer that? Yeah, okay, we'll answer that, and they will. And they'll suck you in and get you entrapped in it because, again, that's what they're trying to do. Not only intellectual pride, but they meet the most basic of human needs. Again, what are some of those needs? They need to be loved, they need to be needed. Sense of direction, sense of acceptance, meaning of life. They make favorable impressions. They do things for people.
The Christian missionaries aren't the only ones that have
them. Right.
The Mormons bring them in?
Right. I was so impressed by the Jehovah's Witness Church at the end of my street, okay? Because in 3 weekends they built the whole building.
Yeah.
And put it up in 3 weekends. It was like... Baptists couldn't get together on what the right side of the church is for the keyboard and the other. In 3 weeks, they got the whole thing put together. It's like, it was impressive, man.
They do that so they don't have to have an inspection.
Really?
But as soon as they, as quick as they can get that building up, nobody notices, so they don't have to have an inspection.
Because they don't file to the government anyways.
Right.
They don't recognize the government. Okay. Well, what are the characteristics? There are a lot of characteristics that are common. We'll spend the rest of tonight going over these. These are the common thread that happens in most religions or cultists. They have the same kind of MO, I guess you could say. You know, if a detective is looking for a serial killer, he's looking for the person who has the same MO, motive operandi, or how they operate. And so you're going to see most cults have these common things attached to them someplace. If not one, they may have many of these, okay? They focus on extra-biblical revelation. What do you mean by that?
Something that wasn't in the Bible.
Something that wasn't in the Bible, how God revealed himself. Okay, can you think of something, some cult that teaches some extra-biblical revelation that happened?
Mormons,
who they teach?
Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith got to see the angel
Moroni,
who was full of
spaghetti.
Okay. And again, the bottom line is they only gave him the tablets and the glasses to be able to read the tablets. He was the only person that could do it. No one else could do it. So there's some extra biblical, other than the Word of God, they have something else. The Bible says in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, the Word of God is our final, complete revelation and authority. The cults have no commitment like that. They claim to respect the teaching of the Bible, but only part of the verbal illustration. Like one illustration here in your notes under D, one Los Angeles-based religious cult recently advertised, "The Bible has become to you the book, but I would also have you know that God has inspired men and women with power to reveal in our time even greater things and ever fresh unfoldings from the heart of life. Above all things, we want you to have the open vision today, for greater things are coming and God is doing wonders among you. Rejoice in the new revelation abounding in hope. The new will reveal the old to you afresh. Have no doubts. Launch out into the deeps of God and fear not. Eternity is now." So all of a sudden, I had a guy that's one of my leaders in baseball chapel came up to me and said, "God has given me a vision for you." I said, "Oh yeah? Where does it come from?" He goes, "It came from God. God gave it to me." I said, "No, thank you." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "If it doesn't come from the Word of God, I don't want it." He goes, "Oh, okay." I said, "I hope that doesn't offend you, but I don't need God telling someone else to tell me something. I have the Word of God. I don't need it." Okay? Sounds like when I was, when people get into cults, that's what they do. The people tell them, "I think you ought to sell all your property and give it to our church. God revealed that to me." Second, false basis of salvation. There's always something other than being born again that you have to do. It's almost always connected with some kind of works. Okay? And again, I want you to understand that in this class, I'm not falsely bashing religions to get my joys of falsely bashing religions, okay? I was in a church for 20 years that taught me the wrong thing. If I had died, I'd gone to hell, okay? Thinking I was going to heaven by everything I had done. Why? Because I didn't know the Bible. I was in this church, I went to religious classes, I went to their schools, their parochial schools, I was brought up, I went and served in the church for several years, and the bottom line is, I couldn't find the book of Genesis if you paid me. No one ever taught me. They told me you couldn't know the Bible. That only the head pastor knew the Bible, and if you wanted to know anything, you had to go to him to learn the Bible. Then again, so I remember one day I brought my Bible, I started dating Louise, and I was going back and forth to her church, and then going back and forth to my church. I brought my Bible, and the pastor of the church said, "You won't need that today." He goes, "I don't have anything that I'm here to interpret for you." And I'm holding the Bible that I just came from a church and said, "You can know the Bible, you can understand the Bible, you can read the Bible, God will speak to you through the Word of God, blah, blah." And now the guy says, "You won't need that today because I don't have anything to show you from it today." That sort of kind of sparked me. And by the way, it took me 3 to 4 months of convincing, because I thought that she was all wet when it came to the Bible. She closed the Bible and quotes it. Okay. She goes, "You have any verse you want to quote to me?" Quote verses, I don't even know what the books are, let alone. You know. She trapped me. She said, "What's your favorite book?" I said, "Oh, they're all favorite." She goes, "Oh, what's your favorite book in the Bible?" I go, "What's yours?" She goes, "Hezekiah." I go, "You know what? I've read that several times. That's my favorite book." I was done. She hands me the Bible. She goes, "Could you please show it to me? Find the verse and show me what's your favorite verse." I'm going, "Yeah, that's right. I know it's here someplace." Lie, 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 liar. All liars are friars. There was no book of Hezekiah. She had me. She just said, "I buried him." So again, I had no clue. I was raised believing that I was on my way to heaven because I was good, and I did everything they told me to do, and I followed my parents and was a good boy, and I didn't get in trouble, and I helped people that were hurting. But that was in false faces, some kind of works. Grace is not by works. Ephesians 2:8, 9. Someone want to quote that for me? This is the verse that God used to show me that what I believed all my life was not right. One verse, Ephesians 2:8, 9. Starts out, for by
grace.
It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here's what got me. I would say, I go to church. I was baptized. I had communion. I did this. I did that. And here it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here I was. I did this. I'm boasting. God said, shut your mouth. Thank you.
Now, if you quote that to a Jehovah's Witness or someone, that passage, what would they say to it?
Again, they're saying, we're not involved in works. Or they'll take you to another passage and show you that where you have to use works. They'll take you to James.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Then there needs to be faith and works.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take it totally out of context, but they'll tell you you need faith plus works. And when you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And they'll say, you have to have works in order to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And if you study the context of that, that is not what it's saying. But yeah, that's what they pervert. Okay? All right, next. Uncertain hope or fear. In other words, they keep you in violence. They keep you, if you don't follow our ways, you're going to go to Gehenna. You're going to go to hell. You're going to go to... And they keep you constantly, if you don't go door knocking so many times, then you can't be one of the 144,000. And that's why they're out there rain and shine and doing the best they can, even though they know there's only 144,000. They're hoping to outdo those people so they can displace one of them so they can become one of the only 144,000 to go to heaven.
Don't they think that there's been at least that many that
lied? They do. They do. But they think they can do more than those people in order to displace them out of place. Keeps them uncertain. Again, they can't come up with a final cure because that'll end it for them. It'll reveal who they are and the people will quit. So they keep, you know, they keep people structured and keep them anxious and got to go to the next level or whatever the case may be. Everything is always uncertain. There's no hope. Yeah, they have pyramids, yeah. Presumptuous messianic leadership. We know that only Jesus deserves disciples, and we know that John the Baptist had a remarkable ministry. He said, I must decrease and he must
increase.
That's not what a cult leader does. His motto is, I must increase, Jesus must decrease. And so therefore, they become Christ to the people. They are the great guru that people have. Sun Myung-moon. Years ago, he spent billions of dollars from prison sending to every Bible-believing Christian pastor a box full of 15 books that proclaimed him as the Messiah and Savior. That we needed to promote him to our people because he was Jesus Christ come in the flesh.
How many years in prison was he?
He was in prison for tax evasion. Yeah, I don't know, but I think he was in prison for about 8 years.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah? That'll send you the award. But he was from Korea. He's Korean, and he believed that he's Jesus Christ. And he had a Presbyterian Pentecostal background. He fostered belief that he was the Lord of the Second Advent. He was the great hope of all mankind. He and his wife were the new Adam and Eve, and followers were the first children of the new world.
Hmm.
See? Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith claimed John gave him the priesthood of Aaron, and that higher priesthood was it was a higher priesthood that was given by Peter, James, and John. Guru Maharaj. Taji. He's the perfect and master and lord of the universe. Okay? Had to ask permission of a judge to marry his 24-year-old secretary. If you're the guru of the universe, why do you have to ask a judge for permission to marry your wife? But, again, they elevate the person and the words of the human leader to a messianic level. The temptation to change from being a simple servant to an exalted messiah. And on it goes. Okay? Doctrinal ambiguity. What do we mean by that? What?
You can't say anything.
It changes constantly. Things change. There's never stays the same. Cults' doctrines are continually changed to adapt to new situations, arguments, or whims of their leaders. Doctrine has no meaning. Throw it out. Therefore, you got to be careful. A lot of Bible-believing churches today are throwing out doctrine. We don't care what we believe. We just want to love everybody. Okay? You better care what you believe. You better know what the Bible teaches you believe. Okay? What passes as a religious experience is nothing more than a mindless emotional drama. Jesus told me. Sometimes watch Sunday morning some of the weirdos that are on the religious networks on television. Okay? And what they do to people to get them brought in. You know, they knock them down. They go through behind them and pound them in the head and knock them into the arms of other people saying that Jesus gave them a revelation. And don't you know a lot of that is big-time scams? That when they come in, they fill out a questionnaire. You got someone in the back room who has a wireless in-the-ear transponder that the person reads in the car, and the guy goes, there's someone in the room who has to wear hearing aids. Let's see. God is sending me a revelation to you. Put your hearing aids in. Right? Okay? He has a green and white shirt on tonight. His name is John. John, are you in the room tonight? So again, the bottom line, then John goes, it's a God. Must be a God. How would he know? Because he filled it out in the car 20 minutes before. Okay? What are some of the ailments that you suffer from? So you just, there's someone in the room who has a problem with his knee. The pain in the inside of his right kneecap is excruciating. He has three holes in the side of his knee that were just placed there recently. Who is this man? Is he in the room with us tonight? Yes, he is. That's how they get you. Okay? Claims of special discoveries, special secrets that only were revealed to them. Okay? Most cults use this to their financial betterment. Okay? And they try, British Israelites, we discovered 10 lost tribes. Guess what? They're still lost. No one's ever found them. No archaeological find has ever proved that there were 10 lost tribes. Okay? But yet, again, people get into that stuff. Okay? Defective Christology. They have to mess with Jesus. Okay? Who is Jesus Christ? Most important question anyone will face. All cults advocate a wrong belief toward Jesus. The early church had Gnosticism. Jesus was an angelic creature, more than a man, less than a God. That's what they believe. Colossians deals with that, who Jesus really was. Arianism denies the deity of Jesus Christ. False views of Jesus Christ, false views of salvation. If Jesus isn't God, he can't save your soul, gang. If he's a man, then he's no different than you and I. He's a sinner, just like us. So how can Jesus save you if he's not God? If he's not God, not a God, God. Okay? God manifests in the flesh. Christian Science. Jesus is the human man who demonstrated Christ. Christ is the ideal truth, the divine idea, the spiritual true idea of God. Mary's conception of him in her womb was only spiritual, not physical. Oh yeah? How come her belly got fat? It was a figment of her imagination. She ate too much water. Okay? Segmented biblical attention. Okay? Along with that teaching, and again, there's a whole list in your notes about it, but they also have to mess up the Trinity. Okay? Let me show you this real quick so you understand how they do this. In 1 John, think about it. Let's put 1 John. The book the books just before the book of Revelation, just before the book of Jude, 1 John chapter 5. Every other Bible on the market has to mess this verse up, and they will. They'll put it together and combine it, okay? They won't be as specific as the King James Bible will be. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the what, class?
Word.
The Word, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are...
One.
What's that say?
One.
They are one, which means...
One.
They're one. That's the Trinity. They're God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All are God, and there's three separate beings in the Trinity, okay? But they're all one. And then it says there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, every other Bible in the market takes and smashes these two verses together and leaves the part about these three are one out of it.
Hmm.
They mismatch or mix up these verses to put it together where it does not say these three are one. Okay? Especially the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Okay? The New World Translation. The little green monster, I call it. Okay? Next.
What about people who think the Greek or the Greek manuscripts are superior or whatever? They say that this isn't found in any of the manuscripts or whatever.
I ask them this question. When was the last time you studied Greek?
Mm-hmm.
What would they tell me?
I don't know Greek.
I never studied Greek. Then how come you're using it?
It's Greek to
you don't
me.
Know. It's Greek to me. And again, they're going to try everything they can because it says it so in the bottom of their manuscript that the Greek text does this, and so they're just puking back what somebody says. But again, as far as I know, and some of the guys that take Greek in here can help me, some of you more sophisticated students, okay, does it say in the Greek that these three are one? Okay, alright, and again, I have it in what? English, because God preserved His Word in the language of the people today. And so, that's why I believe it's true. Okay? But every other Bible in the market messes that verse up, smashes it together. Okay? Segmented Bible attention. Paul take a verse or a particular verse and build a so-called doctrine on it. Anybody know of a verse in the Bible where someone has messed up in the teaching of what it should be?
Yeah, when they have the Jesus says it's my body.
Right.
And when they do Eucharist, it's literally
right.
The body.
Right. And they take, it's called transubstantiation. They believe that the wafer is, and there's many other churches that, there's not just one church that believe that, it's many churches that believe that, that the wafer is the body of Christ. That's why you couldn't touch it, because it was Jesus. And if it dropped, you had to let the minister pick it up, okay, because it was Jesus. So my question is, when does it stop becoming Jesus? Or when does it stop being Jesus? I put it in my mouth, it's Jesus. It goes down to my stomach and all the acids attack it, it's Jesus. It goes through my digestive system. It comes out in the toilet. It goes into the sewage plant. When does it stop being Jesus?
That's where holy water comes from.
The way Jesus movement denies Jesus deity because of undue emphasis on the personality of Jesus. Transcendental meditation reads the verse that tells you to think and meditate, and the rest they get from an Indian guru instead of the Bible. Okay? Yes.
Mark 16:18, I've heard misinterpreted a lot, where it says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Yeah. And again, that's part of that dispensationalizing or realizing who that's written to. But I had a guy grab me one time because I told him that what he was reading from that scripture was not for today. And I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's go to your sink and get some ammonia out, and I'll pour you a glass and you drink it right in front of me, and let's see if the Bible's true. And he wouldn't do it. And then he's saying, well, you're testing the Word of God. No, I'm just testing. If this is what you say you believe and this is true, then if I drink any deadly thing, it wouldn't harm me. And again, that's part of their belief system. You're right. Characteristics other than their enslaving organizational structure. cults bring their followers into a psychological and spiritual slavery. Some of them indoctrinate by keeping them up for days and days and days at a time. I know a friend of my sister's was taken into a cult. I'm not sure what it was. It was back in the 70s. But he was kept at a camp, and he was kept up for 14 days straight without sleeping. And only fed him bread and water for 14 days. And so they sent out a team of guys and went out and rescued him. They intervened the place and stole him and kidnapped him from the place. And praise the Lord, they did. They saved his life. But it was one of the cults. So they have an enslaving organizational structure. They have a financial exploitation, obviously. I had a guy that was part of our church that went off to this cult we talked about. And one of the things he told his followers in his church, because I discipled one of the guys that was in his church, got him out of there. He said, hey, why don't you take your credit cards, go to the bank and get a cash advance on the maximum that you can get on your credit card and give it to the church so that we can build a new church building. And if you didn't, then you couldn't belong to our church anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Financial exploitation.
That wouldn't work with me.
Our
credit card wouldn't.
They have to have exclusionism. They denounce others. And I know that's what it sounds like we're doing tonight. And I'm trying not to sound that way. But at the same time, you can't help it. Again, you know counterfeit by knowing the truth. And so again, I'm not saying that I'm exclusive or that our church is exclusive. God's word is exclusive. Okay? So they have to denounce other. And then syncretism is where you synchronize everything. You borrow a little from this church, you borrow a little from that verse, and you melt it all together and you come up with your own. You'll find a lot of cults are that way. They believe the same kind of things. Okay? What Christians should do? Number one, know and understand biblical doctrine. Number two, separate yourself from any spiritual subversion. Run. Someone invites you to something, and you're uncomfortable with what they're teaching, get up and get out. Don't sit there. Okay? Three, refuse profane points of view. I'm sorry, the Bible says this, you said this, I don't believe what you're saying. And again, I don't care what they have after the name, how many degrees and how many schools they went through and how many, you know, churches they've been a part of, I don't care. The Bible says this, you say that. You are going against the Bible's right, you're wrong. Okay? Do not encourage any cultic practitioners. Someone comes to your door, Jehovah's Witness, don't wish them God bless you. Go see my neighbor, they might be interested. Okay. Don't encourage them. Give them the grit. Be willing to contend for the faith. Know what you believe and be willing to stand for it and be willing to defend against anybody else who would go against what you believe. Listen, for a long time in the church that I grew up in, I didn't know anything of what I believed. And anybody could have come along and got me because I was told to believe what I was told to believe. You know what? When I got saved, I determined no one was ever going to do that to me again. I was going to follow this book. Mm-hmm. If a man said something that went against this book, I was following the book, not the man. And it's been that way for 34 years. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Alright, let's pray and be dismissed and get out of here. Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. I ask you now to bless and dismiss our class. Give traveling mercies for those who are leaving and going home. Give the rest stamina to be able to go through another 2-hour class. As we look at the Psalms, Father, thank you for that class. And Lord, we just ask that you bless and thank you for the opportunity we have to teach your word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen. Amen.